And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. And glad that you can join us on this Friday morning as we wrap up yet another week of live broadcasting here on the Grace Hour. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Hope you'll stay with us for the next hour. We'll have a message to share with you at the outset of our program today, and then we'll open the phone lines and invite you to participate in our broadcast. It's been a great week here in the Grace Hour as we have discussed this theme about the little things. It's just the little things. And we talked about the little seeds that were planted in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, the crumbs, the little crumbs that fell from the master's table, Matthew chapter 15, the pearl, great price, found in the field. And then yesterday, the message from Pastor Stevens entitled, Such as I Have, I Give to Thee. And today, from 1 Samuel 17, it was just a smooth little stone that dropped the giant that came from the sling of what would someday be Israel's king, King David. And we're looking forward to having that message shared with us today. Pastor Schiavelli will bring that message in just a couple of moments. We want to remind you, of course, that following the message, we're ready to receive your calls. We hope to hear from many of you as we open the phone lines. And you can join us by dialing one of these numbers. Toll free in all of North America, 800-338-7060. And please feel free to dial that toll free number and join us live a little later in the broadcast today. Those of you listening locally here in the greater Baltimore area, you would dial the following number, 410-483-3700. And we hope to hear from those of you that are listening locally as well. Want to welcome everyone live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. And our podcast is being live streamed on a lot of different platforms these days, such as Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. And you can find us in any one of these platforms and join the podcast live. And then, of course, share your thoughts with us. Those of you that would like to, we have a chat that you can join, and you can make your comment there or ask your question. And again, as I said a couple of moments ago, a little later in the broadcast, we'll open those phone lines and you can join us live by phone. And we hope to hear from a lot of you that are tuning into the broadcast today. It has indeed been a great week, and these themes, and from in particular the Gospels, and yesterday from the book of Acts, today we'll go into the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And before we began the program, I asked Pastor Schiavelli, I wondered how many times he has preached from 1 Samuel 17 about David's confrontation with the Philistine champion. And more than a few times, don't you think?
Oh, probably at least 100 and 150.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. I mean, but what's so amazing about it is that because the Word of God is alive, that every time it's brand new.
Yeah.
And you can take a different approach and
application.
Yeah, it's incredible. So we're looking forward to what you have to share today.
Okay. I want us to start off and concentrate on 1 Samuel 17:29. When David came up, and just to set the scene, David came up and he said, is there not a cause? And the word cause in the Hebrew language is debar. And what he's really saying there, did not we get a word from God? Didn't we get a word from God? So here's Goliath coming out 40 days in a row with his large mouth, antagonizing and saying to the people of Israel who were there, the Valley of Elah, give me a man. Choose you out a man. And it was like silence. It was just silence that was going on. Nothing was taking place. And David actually came up to bring provision for his brothers, his six or seven brothers, whatever it was. He comes up to bring a provision for them. And then he began to listen, or he began to hear what the giant was saying, and just kind of interjected himself into the situation and was wondering, what's going on here? How can this one come out, this Goliath come out with his just extremely loud initiations of unbelief towards the people of God? And nothing is taking place. He's saying, give me a man, choose you out a man. Is there somebody to fight me, you know? And this didn't go on for like, you know, one day or something. This is 40 days. This is 40 days. It's going on for 40 days. And he's very intimidating. He's very large. He's aggressive. He's a warrior. He's got a huge sword and a huge shield and a huge helmet. I mean, very intimidating. But there was one amongst all of them that was not intimidated by him. And he just came with a sling. He just came up with a, he didn't come up with a sword or a shield or, you know, some kind of a weapon, but he came up with a sling and he said, is there not a cause? Didn't we get a word from God? And really, this is so important. So there's the scene and that's what's taking place. And I was thinking about an application in our own personal lives. There are giants. There's no doubt about it. Not just Numbers 13, where there was a choice. They saw the grapes and they saw the giants. And the grapes were the promise that God gave them. You're going to have the fruit of this land. And there were the giants, and they were there on the mountains and very intimidating. And yet Caleb and Joshua were not intimidated by that. There was, once again, there's 12 spies that went up and there's two of them that are saying, you know, God can do this. We can do this. One speaks up very loudly. That's Caleb. And by the way, in the Hebrew, his name can either mean all heart or attack dog. I think they both go together, all heart or attack dog. And so you and I face giants in our lives. Maybe they can be certain aspects of the old sin nature that would try to dominate a person. Maybe it's a thorn in the flesh that Paul had, and it's a giant. It looms very large to the eyes of the natural temporal man. But to the eyes of God, it really is nothing, just a little bit of grace. I love Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. It talks about in the first seven verses, I think about over 20 different negative things. Not that the Bible's negative, but about the things that they were facing when they had to go up and build a temple and a wall. And then it says in Ezra 9:8, and for a little space, grace was given us from the Lord our God to give us a remnant to escape, to give us a nail in a holy place, to lighten our eyes that we might have a revival in our bondage and we might build the house of God. Five things he actually says there. So David comes up and said, didn't we get a word from God? What is the problem here? What's going on here? And so often when we face trials, tests, temptations, maybe things that have happened in the past, maybe the aggressive religions that are out there that are not godly, maybe the intimidation of the secular world, whatever's going on, maybe it's crime, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol. Is there not a cause? Didn't we get a word from God? I was speaking yesterday with somebody that I was friends with in 1966. It's unbelievable. 1966. How many years ago was that? That's 56 years ago. Yeah, we grew up and he calls me up and he's calling me up and he's just telling me, I just need help, you know? And I'm thinking, wow, 50 something years, you know? And maybe the person was not very open when it came to the things of God. And I could say they were not very open, but all of a sudden a situation takes place and now you can minister a word from God. Is there not a cause? There is an opportunity. So little things. And by the way, little things really with God are very big things because he's a big God. And so understanding the importance of getting that word from God, hearing a word from God, that we have a cause and it's so important. And I was thinking about Ezekiel 37, 36 and 37 this morning. And there's one word that comes forth, and he had one word. He said, live, kept saying live, life, and whatnot. And so there's going to be so-called big things. I don't think they are really big things. I think they are really, in the eye of God, something that can easily be defeated, and we can win over that. And because we have a word from God, we have a personal word from God. It's not just a word from God or like a black letter on white pages. We have a rhema from God. Is there not a cause? I mean, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by a rhema, a personal word of God. The word rhema See, there's the Logos, the full thought of God, which is the Bible. Then there's Rhemas, where God speaks to you and I personally. This is what David got. He received a Rhema from God, a word from God. Didn't we get a word from God? And then he would mix faith with that word from God. And this is so key. Acts chapter 5, same thing. They got a word from God. And they were not intimidated by the religious authorities in Jerusalem. They had a word from God. Revelation chapters 2 and 3. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. The Spirit is speaking to seven different churches, seven different initiations, seven different problems, seven different results, okay, and things that take place. So David's got a word from God. Abraham gets that in Genesis chapter 12. You know, get thee out of thy country, away from thy kindred, and from your father's house. Joshua gets that in Joshua chapter 1. He gets a word from God. Elijah gets it. Elijah and Elisha get a word from God. And this goes on and on down through the Old Testament and church history, the New Testament, people getting a word from God and standing on that word, standing on that personal word that comes from God. And this is so key. We're not talking about subjectivity. We're not talking about, you know, something that is contrived in the mind of an individual through the natural experiences or natural life. We're talking about an absolute word from God. I remember when I went to West Africa in 1986, I was studying and I preached a message from Luke 4:16-21. And that was a word from God for me to move to Africa. It was very clear. It came from God's word, Luke 4:16-21. Is there not a cause? Didn't we get a word from God? And so in every situation that's facing a believer, God has personal words for us. This is so important. Jesus said it in John 6:60-68, specifically 6:68. The words are eternal words, okay? But Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the rhemas of eternal life. You have personal words of eternal life for us, for me, for the 11. This is so key and important. I can get a word from God. And you say, okay, but what if I'm mistaken? What if it really isn't a word from God? It's a word from my own mind. Well, that's where you have other believers. You have church leadership. You have pastors. You have people you can go to that you can try the Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Try the Spirit to find out if it be of God. We get a word from God. We get a word from God. We make a decision. We get a word from God. We get saved. We're born of the word of God. 1 Peter 1:21-23. We're saved by the word. God puts a call on our life in Luke chapter 5. We got a word from God. Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. We got a word from God. And this is so key. As we consider this today, is there not a cause? Didn't we receive a word from God? Now think about it, that God wants to, imagine that God wants to speak to me in a personal way. And he uses the study of the scriptures. He uses the preaching of the word of God, the pastor, teacher. He uses people in the body of Christ to speak to us, to speak to us. Barnabas went to Tarsus to get Saul, brought Saul back. So Father, we thank you today. We pray, God, and we are so grateful and thankful that you speak to us personally. The Holy Spirit takes the word of God and speaks to the church and speaks to individual Christians. We thank you. Bless our time today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And indeed, there is a word from God. There is a cause.
There is a cause.
And we're excited to develop that with you today, friends. And of course, this narrative in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David called from, you know, herding sheep. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
To taking on the Philistine champion. And then, of course, imagine. I just can't even imagine how many times this story has been communicated throughout the history of mankind. ever since it happened.
Yeah, even unsaved people talk about David and Goliath.
Yes.
They talk about a sporting event, and they say this sporting event, this Super Bowl or this World Series or whatever it may be, this is like David versus Goliath, that it looks like for sure this team is going to trample this other team. And it's a David and Goliath scene. And all of a sudden, something takes place.
Yeah.
Something takes place.
It's incredible. Well, we'll continue to discuss it live here in our studio and invite you to join us, friends. Those phone lines are open, so looking forward to hearing from you. At 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. In all of North America and here in the Baltimore area, you can give us a call at 410-483-3700. It's interesting that David chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, put them in his bag, and then he approached the Philistine champion. And it was just one of those stones that dropped the giant.
I mean, people always have this conjecture about the five stones, and they can say it's the number for grace or whatever. I think that Goliath had four brothers. And I think that David said, you know what, I can kill them all if I have to. He had four brothers, just read the scriptures, you know, and maybe they were also right there. And David had this kind of confidence in God that he could do this, that there's no intimidation from the giant and the giant's brothers, you know. And that's really interesting, you know, that he had such a faith in God as just a shepherd boy. I mean, who was there that could have fought Goliath? I thought about this. Who was there that could have fought Goliath? Abner was a warrior. He was right there. Saul was king. He was the head of the nation. He could have fought Goliath. How about the mighty men were around? Any of them, maybe Shammah, some of these people that we read about that were incredible, one man like killing 300 people by himself. Like there was people there that could have fought Goliath, but they were intimidated. There was an intimidation that took place. And by the way, there's a lot of satanic intimidation using the flesh of man and the world system to get Christians to back down and back up. And it's all over the place. And when you talk about missions, or you talk about evangelism, or you talk about going to Bible school or things like that. And there's a lot of intimidation that would try to initiate to a person not to make those kind of choices. This is a little bit crazy. You know, I was talking to two brothers from 40 years ago yesterday, you know, and one of them said to me, I can't believe, like, you mean you're in Africa? You've been in Africa since 1986? And it was incredible because one of them actually got saved. By the way, sometimes we think that, oh, my God, this is an impossible case. And we pray and maybe decades later, somebody's life has been turned around. And just to think about that. So in any situation, you could go to work Monday morning or you go to work today and it's an intimidating atmosphere. But you've got five smooth stones in your hand and you've got a cause and you have a word from God. So you don't go in there and live with an attitude of being intimidated by the atmosphere. See, I once preached a message called The Atmosphere of Unbelief. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I mean, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily clings to us, besets us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And there's an atmosphere of unbelief everywhere. But in the church and in Christians' lives, there needs to be an atmosphere of faith. We have faith in God. Adoniram Justin is going to go to Burma. Everybody says no. You're out of your mind. You're going to die there. This is going to happen. And very, very much, even from the church, he had a lot of opposition about missions. He was the first American missionary ever. And he had all kinds of opposition. And he was from Massachusetts, by the way. Some of you from Massachusetts could call us. Maybe you've been to Judson's gravesite and whatnot. He's got a plaque. There's a plaque there in Malden, Massachusetts, you know. Adoniram Judson, born in Malden, Mass, lived this many years. Walked with God. The Burmese Bible and Burmese Conference are his heritage, and his life is on high. Something like that it reads. And he just wasn't intimidated by the giant of the Asia-Burma situation. No, not one Christian in the whole country. Imagine that. You go to some countries and there's not even a church there. Intimidation? Yeah, you could easily be intimidated. Do we have any response there? I can't see that.
Yeah, we got a few people that are listening and weighing in and watching. We're going to take our first caller in just a moment, but it is fascinating that when you read the account in 1 Samuel 17, everybody in the camp of Israel, all of the soldiers, Saul himself, they could tell you how big Goliath was, mm-hmm. how much his armor weighed, how big his spear was. They articulated the problem accurately. But nobody was talking about God.
Nobody's talking about God.
Nobody mentioned until David shows up.
Yeah.
And David can't stop talking about God.
Yes. He rehearsed it.
Exactly.
Isn't that what it said? He rehearsed it. He wasn't just talking about it once. It says he rehearsed it and rehearsed it and rehearsed it. He's bringing faith there.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm pretty good with a slingshot. One time I was in Southern Africa, and I had a slingshot, you know, and I put a stone in it. And I thought to myself, I could never hit this rhinoceros. He was about like 75 yards away. I hit him. And he started snorting and turned on us, you know, had to get in the car and leave. It was a total mistake because I got one eye that works well, you know. And I thought.
So you got lucky is what you're saying.
Well, something happened. Maybe God wanted us out of there or whatever. But I used a slingshot with a giraffe. I mean, I like slingshots. I always have. I mean, it's not a very nice thing to like, I guess. But I always thought of David. So I used to get, they used to make them in Africa. You remember them? Sebastian, they were like wooden. They'd carve them out, and they would put this rubber from a tire on it. And you could put a pretty good-sized stone in that thing, you know? And it was amazing because I used to like to, if I saw a snake in the yard, I would go out there with my stones and go after the snake. And it was pretty.
I like that.
I hit him, yeah.
You know, it does make you wonder, you know, how big was that stone? We're not talking about a boulder that was thrown at Goliath. We're talking about a small stone.
Yeah.
So clearly, David's faith, yes. God guided that stone, didn't he?
Somebody said in the helmet of Goliath, there was an opening right here. It was like right, there was an opening right in the forehead, and that's where the stone went. God guided it.
Wow.
That stone, and I bet you know that stone penetrated because it was coming with God's power behind it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's so important when we are operating by faith and God is in it, that there's going to be something supernatural that takes place, you know? And then you know what he did too? This is something that I've always wondered about. He cut Goliath's head off and he brought it to Saul's palace. Now, like, can you imagine? And they said that was 6 miles. Is he walking with the head for 6 miles saying, remember this guy? He's not talking much anymore. No, there's nothing intimidating coming out of his mouth now. And I wonder when he came to Saul's palace, what he did with the head. Was there somebody at the front gate who was involved with, or in the front of the house saying, you can't bring that in here, that's a bloody mess, you know? And David was just showing what God can do.
Wow.
And that's faith. Mm. And that's, because there's a cause. And is there not a cause? Are people lost in this world? Is there not a cause to plant churches? Is there not a cause to pray? Is there not a cause to live by faith? Is there not a cause to study my Bible? Is there not a cause to come to Bible school? We have Bible school starting next week, right?
That's right.
And we have orientation Monday. We have orientation tonight. Mm-hmm. Come down here tonight at 6 o'clock. Maybe you don't know much about Bible school. Maybe you're in the church. Maybe you're in another church or whatever. Come down. It's open to everybody. It's open to everybody.
6 o'clock
tonight. Any church in Baltimore or the surrounding areas at all, come down 6 to 8. Take a look at Bible College orientation and what's going to be taking place, and then you could sign up and go to Bible school. Is there not a cause?
Amen.
That's all I got to say.
Beautiful. Hey, we have a caller joining us from Florida. Sarah is on the line, and Sarah, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go right ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Pastor. I'm so glad that I could have the opportunity to talk to you.
Well, we're glad you did. Go right ahead.
I'm happy. I'm thankful for all the messages that I heard. As you might notice, I'm not feeling well.
Can hear that in your voice, yes.
Yeah. But the thing that's standing out to me, it's Pastor Lowe's message about our stand as a Christian, how Satan can deceive us.
Mm.
And he talks so much about God's love and the opportunity that he gave us to devote ourselves to him. Oh. And how Satan could deter us and make us lose our belief. And that really, really get to me.
Yeah.
And caused me to weep.
Yeah. Well, we have, he is a very real spiritual enemy opposing the Christian. Every step the believer takes toward God, we can sense his opposition. But aren't we grateful for that promise in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4? It says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
And, you know, I spend so much time in Africa with Pastor Shabelli.
Really? Where you were with me in Africa?
Yeah, in Ghana.
Ah, okay. And wow.
I remember the time when somebody come and report to you that the government was after you when you had to run.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And most of all, I had to repent to God. Because at the age of 15, I left school and I went to Bible college with the Chankwalas on the mainland. And I spent a week, and we had to go and follow because we were all missionaries. I went home.
Mm. Where are you living? Where are you living in Florida now?
Well, hi, Pastor Shabelli. This is Allison. This is her daughter.
Oh, okay. Okay,
how
Allison. I'm good. Brooklyn, yes. New York. Now I know. Brooklyn,
we're
New York.
Lake Worth, Florida. We're about an hour and 15 minutes away from Pastor Dallin and Veronica.
Wow. Wow. Allison, wow. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Wow. You're originally from Brooklyn, New York Church, right? Morningstar?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Wow, that's great. Well, I remember that now, that trip to Africa. Absolutely.
Well, Allison, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us in the Grace Hour. We're glad that you're able to tune in and listen.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you both. Stay well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, phone lines are open. You can join us at 800-338-7060 and locally 410-483-3700. Vladimir has reached out to us and says, praise the Lord, greetings from Ukraine. Please keep the Ukrainians in your prayers, friends, especially our churches that are there in that country as that conflict continues now well into its sixth month. Incredible, but God is, he's really, you know, he's sustained them. He's helped them. He's allowed them to put up a resistance that is, I think, to so many, absolutely shocking and surprising, but we continue to pray for them and lift them up before the Lord. Pastor Benjamin says, yes, a personal word from God. How sweet, how precise, how encouraging. And Patrick has written to us as pastor. I'm currently in Oman from Nigeria. I need your prayers for Lord's direction, trying to make a big decision. So, Father, we pray for Patrick.
Yes,
whatever
God.
This decision is, lead him. Guide him, speak to him through that spirit, and give him that direction that he longs for.
Right.
He wants to honor you, Lord, with his decision. So please grant him that in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Brown, Pastor Ronaldo Brown, who is with us live in the Grace Hour on the Wednesday edition of our broadcast, is joining us by phone. Pastor
Hallelujah.
Brown, welcome.
Hey, what's going on? We're in Little Rock, Arkansas, throwing rocks.
Hey,
make sure you
make sure
they're
little ones. See, little things, little rocks. Be careful.
Yes, well, according to my doctor's orders, I'm not picking up rocks too big these days, Pastor, but you know, I'm still throwing rocks, so
yeah.
Amen.
Throwing words of God around, right?
Yes, sir. I'm at your favorite place, and I thought of you. I'm at the post office in Little Rock evangelizing
with
the team from Baltimore. Yep.
I've always loved post offices in every country.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go to a country, I find the post office, and that's where I start the ministry.
Why is that?
It's a lot of people are there.
Okay.
There's a lot of people there. They're mailing things, and it means that they've got contacts outside and whatnot. So I don't know. I've always found the post offices in countries to be some of the most fruitful places for people.
There you go.
Yep.
Tell us what's happening there.
Well, let's see. Glenn Sautel is joining us. Pastor David Wilczek from Tennessee is here. Pastor Adam Speedy is here from Houston. Pastor Chris Moore is here from Houston. As a team from Baltimore, we got prayed out Wednesday night. So it's a great time. Great devotional this morning. We listened a little bit to Grace Hour before we came out. We're out door knocking now and evangelizing in front of the post office in Little Rock. We got a meeting. Meetings here Saturday, the 27th, in the evening at Embassy at a Comfort Suites conference room. Saturday from 7 to 8:30, and then Sunday morning service, 28th, same place, Comfort Suites in Little Rock West. Then next week, Wednesday, and next week, Friday, we have meetings here. Just seeing what God would do in this beautiful city.
You know what you can do, too? You can just say to them, listen, do you know how many times I pray for Bill Clinton? He's from Little Rock. And you'd be surprised. That could open all kinds of doors, maybe, or maybe, I don't know.
Or maybe close a few.
I don't know. But you can say, hey, I have a great friend from Little Rock.
After Hillary.
What? Is it really?
Named after Hillary.
What
There's an entire montage of her entire pictorial history of her life here in Little Rock.
Wow.
Yeah. People are very open, though. The ones I've been talking to since I got here are very open. It's amazing how people are searching and don't know what they're searching for. They're kind of fed up with life. They're looking for something different than what they have, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Now, tell our listeners, Pastor Brown, how many times we've been out there to Little Rock, Arkansas, and what the vision and the goal is.
Beautiful. This is actually the third trip. We've been here twice already. This is the third time, and as you know, Pastor Love and Pastor Shabelli, you know, it's like you're sowing seeds. You know, it's not the first time and not the second time, but it's the consistency of it. And we've been coming here. This is the third time. God has been moving here as far as Little Rock, Arkansas people are responding. We do a Zoom here now. There's some believers here that watch us on Zoom. The vision is to ultimately have prayer meetings for Arkansas as well, but the ultimate vision is to have a church here in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
We're leaning toward Little Rock West. The Houston church has been a big part of being involved in helping it get off the ground here as Pastor Chris and Pastor Adam are here. And recently, the Tennessee church, the Pastor David Wilczek has been behind it and getting involved in it on this trip. So it's great to see our people in this area getting involved in what God wants to do in Arkansas.
Amen.
So that's the vision, to have a church here. And I would even say it'd be great to get Bible college students from Arkansas to come to Baltimore. That'd be phenomenal.
Mm. Tremendous.
I'd like to come with you one of these days. Am I invited?
That's a date. Are you kidding me? You have a standing invitation. What are you talking about?
Little Rock,
I haven't met an Italian here.
Huh?
Yet. I haven't met any Italians here yet. But
I'll find them. I know where they are.
And Pastor Love, this is going to hold onto your seat, put on your seatbelt. There's a Haagen-Dazs in Little Rock. Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness. Well, then you know I'll be there. Hey, we're thinking about, of course, our message today from 1 Samuel 17, a smooth stone drops the giant, and you're in Little Rock. What a great message that would be. Only a little rock. It only takes a little rock to take down
smooth.
The giants of our day.
Take out the little rock.
Please let me steal that from you. I'll be using that in evangelism.
There you go. There you go.
Is your name David? Excuse me, sir. Is your name David?
That's all you got to do. Wow.
A sling you have? What is that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know how good I am with a sling, right?
Yes, and unfortunately, a few others also know about your prowess with the sling. So,
animals, not people.
Well, we want to definitely protect it, keep that off the airways. But that's a great message, Pastor Love, about David and the sling and the smooth stones, because it's one of those messages that gets beyond the Bible, where you can talk to a regular person and mention David and it means something to them, or Goliath and a giant.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great door opener to the gospel. You know?
Amen. Yeah, I hope you can use that. And we'll be praying for the adventures of faith out there in Little Rock, Arkansas. And maybe our listeners
just
can be praying, too, that we'll have a church out there one of these days.
Just a little
rock. You know what, Pastor? I just love our heart to reach out and win the lost for 50 states and for America and for missions in our continent, you know, and to reach, put the finished work message in the gospel all over America, you know?
Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, Pastor. Appreciate the call.
God bless you. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great day.
Yes, thank you. And Lord, bless their efforts out there in Little Rock, Arkansas. We pray that great fruit would come from the steps of faith that they've been taking.
Just a little rock, that's all.
Yeah, that's all it
takes. Just a little thing.
Yeah.
A little rock to call Goliath.
How appropriate that they were in Little Rock, Arkansas. We're talking about a little rock that tumbled the giant. Let's go to Phil next. Phil has been waiting to join us from the Baltimore area. Phil, thanks for holding on. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning, Pastor.
Morning.
It's great to be here on the air and joining in with those that are calling in from all over the country and all over the world. What a great ministry we have.
Amen.
It's awesome.
Amen.
I'm in the process of moving from my apartment at Fairmount Park Apartments over to Everald Ave.
Okay.
Which is right across from Baltimore.
Sure.
And they're making Pastor Jeff is making the move for me. I'm in a wheelchair still because I can't walk.
Okay.
So to cut to the chase, I was hoping that people would be willing to pray for me that God would heal me and I can walk into services.
That's a great request. Father, we do pray for our brother Phil, and he's had these physical challenges for some time, and we do pray for his healing, how much he would love to be able to just walk into church. But we're grateful for his life of faith. We're grateful for his encouraging spirit, and we pray that you would grant him these desires of his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you so much.
Thank you, Phil. We'll be praying for your move.
You're the best. Yeah. God bless you all.
All right.
Think about this, Pastor Love. I mean, David heard God's voice when he said, "Is there not a cause?" So didn't we get a word from God? That means David is listening to God's voice. And I was kind of looking at this that took place in Matthew chapter 3 and chapter 4. The voice of the Father speaks from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the devil's voice comes right after that. "If you're the Son, do this and do this and do this." Then here comes Jesus' voice. Three times he says, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And then we think about the Spirit's voice, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. "He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Then we think about the voice of the church. What's the church saying? The church is giving the word of God. Then the voice of a Christian. What is a Christian's voice? What is taking place? And then the voice of the gospel. And all these different voices. You know, it's really interesting. Do you know that the word, and maybe you do, the word voice comes from the word light. It's phone, P-H-O-N-E, like a phone. But it comes from the word P-H-O-S. So the word voice actually comes from the word light. When you hear a voice, light shines. Like if I say to you right now, what was the name of that ice cream?
Haagen-Dazs.
Haagen-Dazs. It can bring a thought to your mind, can't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
My cholesterol level.
Yeah. No, it's amazing because like we can hear something and then the voice. It's a voice, and then all of a sudden we start thinking about what we just heard. Light to the mind. So it's incredible. So David heard a voice. He didn't listen to Goliath's voice. He didn't listen to the Philistines' voices. He didn't listen to his own people's voices. He didn't listen to his family's voices. They were saying, "What do you want up here? What are you doing? You came up and brought some bread up and some food. What are you doing?" And he didn't listen to the voice of his old sin nature. He's listening to God's voice. And isn't that the key? When we listen to God's voice, we hear God's voice in the Word, in the study of the Word, in preaching and in teaching and in the church with other believers. We have a great opportunity to really get an absolute victory when we face the giants in life.
Yeah. There's a lot of voices in our culture today.
Whew.
And we have to be very discerning. And we have to focus in. We have to tune in, if you will, to the voice of God, to the voice of His Spirit, to the voice of the message that we hear from the pulpit. That's going to make all the difference in our lives. Let's go back to the phones. Pastor Roger Robbins joining us. We're not sure if he's joining us from Turkey or here in the States.
Hey, Pastor Love, Pastor Shabelli.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, guys. I just was calling in. I'm here. This is our the last 2 weeks before we go back to Turkey.
Okay. And, so you are still here in the States.
I am. And I'm in Vermont. I'm here on our, like, one-week family vacation.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's just been great to listen to the messages every day, Liz and I. And we have Lizzie's cousin up here joining us with their family for part of this time. And I just wanted to share a little testimony just about just camp life, how it just made such an impact in my kids' lives. They're just singing, just blessing us, and like full of so much joy, so many memories and stories. And I was just thinking about my own life and just the, like you said, Pastor Shabelli, Sunday night, the eternal words, like, put in our heart. They like really, they find a place that even the devil in this world cannot remove, cannot, you know, fight back or turn against us. They never fall to the ground. And I just see it in my kids' life, and now I'm seeing it kind of bear its fruit in small, beautiful ways. And I was also thinking about Pastor Schaller's message on Wednesday night. I really loved this, you know, this portion of, like, how do we see the land? You know, how do we see these grapes? How do we see this promised land? Mm-hmm. And it's all about knowing the words of God, knowing our Bible. And this yesterday we sat on, like, the side of a river as our kids all played together. And Lizzie's cousin's wife just started going back to church. She was actually really blessed by your messages, Pastor Shabelli, every time they visit. And she just started getting back into her Bible. And it was so cool. Mm. We just sat there and encouraged her to, like, this is you and God. This is a special time in your life. You need to learn the Bible. Wow. And it was there. It was. Mm. It was there in Vermont on our vacation, and we got to just share what's in our heart. And they're like, they said to us on the ride home. She goes, I talked to I talked to Tony, and Tony said, I've never heard anyone talk about the Bible so much than Raj and Liz did. And I said, we don't even really know the Bible as much as we would ought to, but we love it. It's our life, and it's done such an amazing work, and now it's doing it in our kids' life. I just want to say thank you guys so much, Pastor Love, Pastor Shabelli, and everyone else. It was just really great to see.
Well, yeah, and you are a great example of a young man. I can call you young because you're younger than me. A young man and a marriage and a family that really is absolutely consecrated to God's life, God's word, and God's work, and the ministry, and going to Turkey. See, a lot of people, when they think about missions, they don't think about families on a mission, and it's amazing. You know, we have many families that go on the mission field, and what a great opportunity for your children to really be brought up and be around a whole different culture, and be able to experience that. This is invaluable, and so I really thank God for, like, the decisions you've made in your life and before God. And you have an amazing father. Your father's amazing. Yes. And an amazing family, the Robbins family. Wow. You're going to go down in history generation after generation as people that care about the gospel and souls. So it's a privilege to be your friend.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Shabelli. We just want to say we love you guys very much, all the way from Vermont. And we're just so encouraged, and on our little adventures, we went hiking and we found Robbins Mountain.
Wow!
A picture of it.
There you go.
Middle of nowhere.
Hey, I'll bet
so
you.
A little blessing.
I'll bet you on Robbins Mountain, you could find a little container full of maple syrup from Vermont for me.
I sure could.
All right.
Okay.
My wife would be thrilled. My wife would be thrilled. Wow.
Okay.
Have a great time. God bless.
Hey, see you guys soon. Love you guys.
God bless. Thanks so much for the call. Phone lines are open. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And you can join us by dialing that number anywhere in Canada and the United States.
Can you see those initiations up there Or, yes. Oh, they're right here.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I got to get
We got a number of folks that are just enjoying the broadcast today. Arete Chu from Geneva, Switzerland says, greetings. Thanks so much for the portion and for the wonderful message you preached this past Sunday evening about the eternal word of God. And again, Ilhan has weighed in, sends his greetings and blessings to everyone here associated with the Grace Hour. And let's see what David has to say way up in South Bristol, Maine.
South Bristol!
David is a regular listener to the Grace Hour. David, welcome.
Oh, I thank God that you talked to me. King David, he didn't leave things undone, it seems, and I guess God must have shown him how to kill that bear and that lion when he was tending God's sheep there. Unfortunately, I do think leave things undone. I cut a 6-inch oak tree and let it lean against my old mobile home, and then 4 days later, I was jacking it up, and it fell on my head. It was a log about 6 inches deep and about 12 feet long. I didn't know if I was going to heaven or the hospital, but...
Apparently you went to the hospital.
No, I just waited a couple hours and went back to work.
I bet you, I know what happened. Your head broke the tree.
It just about did, I think.
See?
But if I'd taken care of it when I should have, it wouldn't have happened. Getting hit in the head with a rock like that, it'd be like getting hit with a bullet, from your slingshot.
God's bullet with a slingshot, yeah.
It's amazing. My grandkids are practicing with their slingshots, and I'm just amazed at what they can hit.
Yes.
It's just incredible.
Maybe a couple of young Davids being raised up there.
It could be, and there's plenty of Goliaths around, so, yeah.
Yeah, there are. No worry about that. They don't go away until we go home to be with the Lord.
Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Doesn't it say that?
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. Well, even if it's a slingshot and a rhinoceros there. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, there is a cause, and thank God we get to tell people about Jesus and the cross and how salvation is free, which gets most people really riled up. Because they don't like the free love of God. They want to
earn it, right?
Yeah, they want to earn it. Yeah,
they want to earn it. They want to. If there's going to be salvation, they say, and they'll get it the old-fashioned way, earn it.
Yeah. They turn out to be quite miserable, bitter people. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's clear, David, isn't it? Because we can't earn it. We can't work our way into heaven. We cannot work our way into an acceptable relationship with God if it's not received as a gift of grace. Then it's not going to happen, is it?
Oh, it's such a great gift. And I try to tell everybody I meet about the great gift, and some of them are offended, and some of them really agree with me. So thank you, and I won't take any more of your time.
God stay well, you. And stay away from those falling trees.
I will. Okay.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
You can join us. You still have time to join us, friends. You know, I just want to read this, Pastor Schiavelli. Because, again, when David shows up at the camp, there's so much talk about Goliath. David himself even hears the rantings of the Philistine champion. And then Goliath sees David coming out to him, and he is offended at the fact that this is the best that the army of Israel can bring to challenge him, this little ruddy youth of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, he says, what am I, a dog? Did you come to me with staves? And he cursed David by his own gods. But then when David spoke, he said, you come to me, Goliath, with a sword, with a spear, with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies. I like that.
Yeah.
Plural.
Armies.
The armies, not just, hey, it's not just me against you. It's not just... armies, plural. Isn't it valuable that we look at the giants that we face in our lives and be reminded of the fact that we have armies?
Not only Christians in the armies, but armies of angels.
Armies of angels.
I mean, they're right there with us. And how about the armies of the history of the Old Testament, the New Testament? I mean, this is incredible. That's in the mind. And that should be in the mind of a believer. like what a heritage we have as we go back all the way to Genesis and we think about these incredible victories, you know, that God has won and that we just stand on those victories.
Yeah.
And that's all we do is we stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set us free and don't be entangled with all kinds of initiations from the enemy with his loud voice, big mouth, loud voice. And it's very important to hear God's voice. And he speaks in a still, small voice. Can you imagine the voices that Elijah must have heard when he was on the mountain? You know, come on, like this. How many hundreds of them are there that you're going to face, you know? And he wasn't intimidated, even though he did get a little bit discouraged later on. But he just won a great victory in 1 Kings 18 at Mount Carmel. And he was facing, you know, he was facing opposition. And rather than allowing the opposition to be magnified by the devil, the world, and my old sin nature, I just see, I magnify the sling and the stone. And I magnify what God has given me. I magnify who God is and magnify the Lord. This is the key. In every situation, you know, some people, all they talk about is their sickness. Well, you talk about it so much that you convince yourself that it's never going to go away, and it doesn't do very much for your mind at all. So all you talk about is your sickness. All you talk about is your financial problems. And I know they're there, but am I going to just be talking about that every time I meet somebody? And here's what happens. I tell you about my problem, and I tell you, and then I tell the next person, and I tell 10 people my problem. Well, they've all heard it once, but you've heard it 10 times. Now you have a mindset about your problem, and that mindset becomes a Goliath. And God just says, listen, I'm going to give you a word, finished. It's going to be finished, and this is so key. Didn't we get a word from God?
Yeah. It's so important. And he went on to say in that same 17th chapter, the God of the armies of Israel, you have defied those armies. This day, he said to Goliath, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, take your head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth.
See, he liked to feed animals.
Yeah, there you go.
See?
That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into my hands.
And interesting, Pastor Love, all this assembly will know, the whole earth will know. We're still talking about it today, years later. Am I right?
Yeah.
Like 3,000 years later?
Yeah.
Here we are. We're still talking about that. The whole earth may know. That the armies of Israel will know, the Philistines, the enemy will know, the devil will know, the atmosphere will know, the angels will know, the great cloud of witnesses will know. And down through church history, they will know what happened here.
That's right.
Yeah,
and that message resonates with so many people.
Yes.
And I love the fact that he said, this day.
Today.
We have to remember and remind ourselves that all giants come with an expiration date. It's just a matter of time before they will tumble, right? And again, as long as we keep our eyes fixed on him, on God, you know, the giants will tumble. When we take our eyes off of God, what happens? Well, we stumble.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's evident even in the life of David as, again, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel go on. David, as long as David is focused on who God is, he's victorious.
Amen.
But the moment he takes his eyes off of God, I mean, think about it. We read about his sin with another man's wife, Bathsheba.
Yeah.
You know, again, I love the Bible because it's real. It's reality.
Amen.
This is the man who made the giant tumble. You know, he kept his eyes on God. Goliath falls.
He didn't stumble and the Goliath tumbled.
There you go.
There we go.
And at the same time, this is the same man that even though he stared down the giant, he couldn't stop staring at another man's wife.
Huh.
And then the trouble came into his life.
Trouble.
So it's just he exemplifies what life is like for all of us and reminds us that as long as we can keep our hearts and minds fixed on our God, we'll get through life and we'll have victories and giants will fall. But the moment we take our eyes off of God, wow. you know,
focusing
trouble can
on
come.
The wrong things.
Exactly.
They become a my eyesight. I'm looking at it, and then it enters into the mind, and it creates all kinds of havoc in a person's life because they've looked at the wrong thing. You know?
It can happen. Well, just a few minutes left. Harry's waiting on the line to join us. Harry, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Yes, Pastor, thank you so much. Awesome broadcast. Is there not a cause and a purpose? God said, the cause of the fatherless and the widow, you know. We have to take the love of God to them. And if we have a heart of a king, and we all do as believers, then intimidation is out the door. And just to know how much God's love is not going to be separated from any one of us, you know.
Amen.
Totally, you know. And one stone is all needed. If there was another stone, maybe it would have been a man's work or someone else trying to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. But one stone, God's work, right?
Yeah. God did it. Well, that was David's confession of faith. He said, I'm not doing this. This is not about me. God's going to deliver you into my hands. Hey, he said, I had some practice when I was taking care of my father's sheep. A lion came. God delivered the lion into my hand. The bear came. God delivered the bear into my hands, and both of their heads are now on my mantle. And Goliath, I'll take your head and put that right on the between the other two.
I read a story one time from a commentary, and he said that it seems like David killed the lion and the bear at the same time.
Wow!
It wasn't like one week, and no, it says it kind of like he killed them both at the same time. So he wasn't afraid of a lion. A lion speaks of the devil, a roaring lion. Wasn't afraid of the bear, speak of the world and the old sin nature. And he just took them out too, you know. And he's taking Goliath out, you know.
Amazing.
Wow. Good. Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Well, thank you, Harry.
Thank you, pastors. Praise God.
Amen. God bless you.
Bible school starts when?
Monday.
Monday, Bible school. We have church on Sunday too, 9, 11, and 6:30
p.m.
P.M. 6:30 p.m.
So plenty of options to come out and join us for our Sunday services.
Sunday services, and then you could be one who enlists in Bible school, who just comes in and say, "Don't worry about finances or any of those kind of things that could seem to be Goliaths or obstacles, but just take out one smooth stone and let those finances have it, shatter them." Like, I don't know if I can learn. I've never been to college. Come on. This is Bible school. Okay. You're going to learn about God and his word.
Amen.
So don't be intimidated. Maybe you've done a year and a half, and you haven't had time to keep going with it or finish. Come on back.
We got a place for you. What I love, too, is that there are local churches that are looking to train people within their local assemblies, and they need that training, Bible college education. And many of them have come in from the greater Baltimore area, got their training, and then gone back into their local assemblies and really helped to make a difference in their local churches. You can do the same. Contact us today if you'd like more information about Bible College. We're out of time, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week, God willing, at the same time. Join us then.